Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Two turnovers early, though, given those guys one easy one, short field, can't do that. But our defense, they played outstanding. They gave us a shot. The second half, you know, our guys put their heads down. They worked. That was a tough fought football game by a very, you know, two tough teams. So give them credit. They had a really good plan going into it, and we just found a way.
That's Josh Allen, Buffalo quarterback, after the fact, as his Bills come from 17 down to beat the Ravens 23-20. Allen, 19 of 36, 213 yards, a touchdown, a pick, also rushed for a TD. Quarterback rating, not a very impressive, at 68.4, but in the second half, started making some plays, and the Ravens didn't appear to have any answers for them.
No. Josh Allen, Bobby, rushed for 53 yards in the second half, had 108 yards passing in the second half. You know, they made plays, and Josh Allen made plays in the second. He made phenomenal plays in the second half. You know, he made Superman-type plays in the second half that, you know, if you're a defensive player for the Ravens, you know, or if you're Mike McDonald in the sideline, say, what the heck? You know, how did he get out of that? Or I can't believe he made that play. I mean, they were every play that they needed to make somehow, some way, up, they made that play in the second half.
58 Haney, 105.7 The Fans. If people want to join us for some NFL lunch, so you hope you're hungry for football. Let's go to Bel Air. It's Mike. Mike, you're on The Fan.
1 second. Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was at that game, and I'm sitting there watching the game. We're up 20 to 10. I'm like, okay, Buffalo's going to make adjustments. When we get the ball, we definitely got to score. My problem is this. You know, the heat has to be on Harbaugh. But not only Harbaugh, it has to be on the general manager. It has to be on the scouts. I mean, you're picking guys. They're not playing up to their draft status. They built the team bad. I mean, year in, year out, we have this problem with bad play calling, bad coaches. And then some of the players have to take a Bateman drop. Three balls yesterday. He's the number one, supposed to be.
Yep.
And my problem is this. Diggs, everybody's talking about, well, Diggs was a third or fourth round pick. Okay, because he was a third or fourth round pick, Merle, you're supposed to have the first eyes on him because he's in state.
He was a fifth round pick.
Well, he was a fifth round, okay? Just like, what's the dude that's at Maryland now? Now, he's had injuries. Demas. Moore. All these wide receivers that come out of Maryland, and the Ravens doesn't draft them. And look who they draft instead. My problem is this. Everybody's talking about that fourth down play. You had three other downs to get 5 yards, and you couldn't get. That speaks to your offensive line. We're not smash mouth no more. We're finesse. And it's too predictable. First down every time we run the ball. And I understand we was gashing them a little bit. But how about a play-action pass on first down, you know? And Lamar has to look at other players besides Andrews. You know, when crunch time comes, everybody knows you're going to throw to Andrews. So you got to look off and hit that second and third guy, you know? Because Duvernay, like I said, Duvernay was open for a time being, but he was strictly looking at Andrews.
All right,
well,
Mike.
Andrews was in the flat. Duvernay was deep. So, I mean, if you look over there, you know, how could you not see a guy jumping up and down all by himself if you're looking in the same area? Now, you're saying, you know, they had other chances. They were first and 10 at the 10. That's when he hit Duvernay for 9 yards. And then the first play, they run right end, and they lose three. You know, that's when Morgan Moses whiffed, and they pull, and they got stuffed. So then all of a sudden, instead of second and – you're second and one at the one, you hand it to Dobbins, he loses three. So all of a sudden now you're third down, and you're on the four. You know, and Lamar scrambles up the middle. I mean, they do – they run Lamar up the middle, which is they do that a lot. He got 2 yards. Okay. Then you're fourth and two from the two. Then you're right back at it. I mean, lost yardage play was the killer. That was the killer.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Northeast Baltimore. It is Vinny. Vinny, you're on the Fan with Vinny and Haney.
What's going on, fellas? Let me hurry and get to where I want to get to. It's going to sound crazy, but this loss is on the offense, both against Miami and yesterday. You got to put a drive together. You had 20 points. You sat on 20 points the whole half. The first game against Miami, I think we only scored 10 points in the second half. At some point, the offense had to put a drive together like you did last time. You put a drive together, things kept happening. We were getting false starts, getting the interception that happened on Lamar. You had to put a drive together. But quickly, where I want to get to, the defense. Patrick Queen is a mess. And this dude is I keep not wanting to say he's a bust, man, but this dude's a bust. Last week, he had a pick six that he should have made. Yep. It hit everything on his body but his hands to catch the ball for the pick six against New England. Yesterday, to stop the bleed, even to take the motivation, to take the momentum away from Buffalo, at the half, it would have been 20-3. You catch the interception that hit you everywhere again but your hands, bro. Then – to top it off, the play where you're supposed to keep contained, you come flying in there like a bat out of hell in the rain, and Allen looks at him like, all right, I'm going to keep the ball, spins, and goes to the edge. Like, dude, I think he's just out there. I mean, Patrick Queen, these linebackers are terrible, man. Terrible.
Yeah, Patrick does a good job when he's blitzing. He's a good blitzer. Now, on that play coming down – you've got to – your angle that you're taking when you're coming off the edge, you got to take it because you've got contain. You got to take it at his upfield shoulder. Then when you see the boot, then you got to climb. You got to get up high, you know, to get him to come back inside or pull up. You know, and that's where he screwed up because he gave him the corner, and then all of a sudden, you know, Josh Allen looking touchdown all the way.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll revisit our picks for this past weekend's NFL and college games with one more to go tonight. You can hear that game on The Fan, the 49ers hosting the LA Rams. Later on tonight, 6 o'clock, it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick, we're going to be down at Pickles getting you ready for the Orioles and Blue Jays. Last series of the year. It's already October, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. Got playoff baseball starting later this week. Cordell Woodland joins us at 1:30. I'm sure he was running hot in the press box at M&T yesterday.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, every week here on the program, we make picks. Football, college, and pro. Booze is the prize at the end of the year. Beer for me, beer for Norm, bottle of wine for Vinny. That will all be determined in due time, but for people just tuning in and you want to know what the status report is as far as standings are concerned, after Thursday's game, which we all got right, if I'm not mistaken, picking Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, we were all on the Bengals there.
Okay, now let's talk about what the standings were heading into Saturday and Sunday's college and pro action with a game tonight, too.
So coming into Sunday, Vinny still holding on to his lead, 32-25. I was 29-28. Bob, 26-31.
All right, chipping away. That's what we're doing here, trying to anyway. And in college this past weekend, we had five games to choose from. We had number 7, Kentucky, at number 14, Ole Miss. And what was the consensus on that one there, Nolan?
Well, Vinny and I, we were riding with Ole Miss there.
Yes, we were.
Do you see the video of that fight breaking out in the stands, student section?
Looked like two different fraternities
going at it.
Just beating each other mercilessly.
Did you notice, though, that the women at the game, they're always dressed up? The women dress up for the games, the students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. In the fight video, there were some women standing around, but the guys were wearing, like, blazers, and they were dressed up, too, which made the fight funnier.
Oh, well, good for them. I took Kentucky to the point you guys had. Lane Kiffin, undefeated Ole Miss Rebels there. Alabama at Arkansas. Alabama won. We all took Alabama, but lost their quarterback, it seems.
That's right. Pat our stats for now.
Yeah. Oklahoma State at Baylor. How'd that go for everybody there?
I took Baylor.
We all took Baylor, so no harm, no foul.
Yeah, that's usually the game the old mullet tends to lose, but they won on the road. That's a good one for them. NC State at Clemson. Ua Agungale.
I know I had Clemson. I had the Rock.
We all had Ungale.
Exactly.
What Bob said.
Who's now putting himself quietly in the Heisman conversation, by the way. Michigan State at Maryland. We all went the Terps.
Right. Looking good in those jerseys, getting the job done.
Old school Bobby Ross Boomer uniforms. So the old Bobs are 3-2 in college this week.
What were we, Norm? 4-1, right?
4-1.
Yeah.
That's how you get it done.
Look at you.
Yeah. All right, NFL, Minnesota at against New Orleans in London. The double doink cost the Saints. Vikings get the win. I know I took Minnesota.
I had the Vikes.
We had the Vikings there, yeah.
Saints kind of scuffle city right now. Latavius Murray scored a touchdown for them. See that?
He did.
Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray, they were the guys because Alvin Kamara was not there. Cleveland at Atlanta. I know one guy that took the Atlanta Falcons.
Me too.
You and Vinny. I was on the Browns there. I wasn't buying the line. I probably should have, so I'll take the L.
Dallas over Washington. The Commanders stink, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
We all took Dallas there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Lions against Seattle.
Yeah, I took the Lions.
As did I.
Are we going to give up on them yet? I mean, we're four
weeks
in.
They're fun to watch, dude.
Right. They score points, but they can't stop anybody is the problem.
I had this thought earlier. If they weren't on Hard Knocks, Dan Campbell's seat would be red hot right now.
No, this is year two.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
They ain't going to be year. No. They just, offensively, they're good. They're kind of like the Terps. You know, they're good on offense. Defensively, they need a little
work. And they got that done minus their best receiver and their starting running back and still put up 45. Their defense stinks, though. I think we can all agree on that. Colts hosting Tennessee.
I took the Colts. I'm done with the Colts, Bob. Done.
Two years in
a row now.
I got one back here. I took the Titans.
I took Indy there. Chicago at the Giants.
We all have the Giants?
We all had the Giants.
Yeah, there you go. It's a victory lap there.
Wink.
Jacksonville at Philly.
We all had the Eagles?
Yeah, I took Jacksonville.
No,
I was looking pretty smart there for about a quarter and a half. Until I wasn't. Philadelphia, as we talked about earlier, Eric Edholm, the only undefeated team left in the National Football League. Jets at the Steelers. We all took Pittsburgh.
Did not see the quarterback change coming, but we were all on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, three incompletions. They were all interceptions, however.
Okay.
For him. Did rush for two. Chargers at Houston.
I took Houston.
And Bob and myself had the Chargers
in that one.
Houston sucks.
Yes, they do. Still winless. They do have the tie with Indy. Let's see here. Arizona, Carolina. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm off the Baker Mayfield bandwagon.
Yeah, me too. I took Carolina.
Yeah, had to drop him a couple weeks ago. I've had the Cardinals here.
Green Bay hosting New England. Packers win, but it needed overtime to do it against a third-string quarterback.
I think we all had to pack, didn't we?
We did. We had to sweat that one, but we got it.
Yeah.
Raiders hosting Denver. Raiders get their first win. Denver loses Javonte Williams for the season.
I took the Raiders, didn't I, Norm?
We all did. We all had the Raiders there. Okay. Backs against the wall. They got it done.
Kansas City at Tampa. I know I went Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. I went Bucks, I think, didn't I?
No, we all had the Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we all took Buffalo against the Ravens there.
Yes.
Thought it would be a lot more high scoring than it was. All of us had the Bills.
31-27.
Yeah, we all had the Bills scoring in the 30s. So, but I had a 3-point game. So I guess you could give me that.
No, you get no extra credit.
No
you
bonus points.
Take the win. That's all
I don't
that
need.
Now, so that's 8-6. I was in the NFL yesterday.
What was I, Norm?
Well, I have on the week, and I had to adjust here because I actually had us down for an extra loss we shouldn't have. On the week yesterday, Vinny 13-6.
No, nice.
Bob 12-7.
Ooh.
15-4 for me.
Damn.
On the weekend.
Damn, that's you strong. Picked up a couple.
That's so strong. I'm right on your tails, Vinny. Updated standings on the year. Vinny 44-32. Actually, this is tentative. 43-33 for me and 37-39 for Bob.
Told you, like the Earl Weaver Orioles. I'll be breathing down your neck in December. You can bet your ass on that. Tonight, San Francisco laying 1.5 against the Rams. Remember, spreads don't matter for entertainment purposes only. We just picked the winners. Who do you have tonight, Vinny Serrato?
I want to say that Kyle Shanahan usually wears out McVay. So, because of that, and they're at home, I'm going to take the Niners and Jimmy G.
Yeah, they've had much more success against them in the regular season. Obviously, not so much in the playoffs last year. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well.
I'm going to take the Rams. Got to catch up. So if you guys are taking the same team, I got to go with the defending Super Bowl champions. You can hear that game, by the way, here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up later on tonight, along with Baltimore baseball tonight at 6, me and Mike Bordick getting you ready for the Orioles and Blue Jays live from Pickles in downtown Charm City. When we come back, however, Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us, get his thoughts on what happened yesterday at M&T Bank Stadium. He was there. Ravens have lost 5 straight home games. They've lost, what, 2 games this year where they had at least a 17-point lead.
Yep.
Only 5 times in the history of the franchise have they done that, and twice this year.
When you need answers, when you crave sports, when you want the best, it's 105.7 The Fan.
Ravens lose yesterday, 23-20 to the Buffalo Bills. As you would imagine, we've been talking about it a lot here on this Monday. Baltimore now 2-2 on the year. Get back at it later in the week, preparing for a Sunday night matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals, who have Baltimore's number, 2021, but it's a different season. Here to talk about what happened yesterday, how's the health situation for the Ravens after that Buffalo game. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. You can hear him weeknights shaking it up sports here on The Fan. He's our Orioles and our Ravens reporter. He is, and he was there yesterday, watched it all live and in person. Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good afternoon. What's going on?
What's up, fellas?
All right, man. You're watching that drive and the yardage get accumulated, the clock ticking away. Ravens get the fourth down. It's obviously been the hot topic of discussion today. Cordell, your impressions of the play call, your impressions of the decision to go for it at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that they went for it. I'm actually on board with them going for it. You look at the Ravens historically, especially since Lamar's become the quarterback, this has been an aggressive offense on fourth downs. They're going to go for it. You have one of the more explosive players in the league. I don't knock them for going for it at all. The problem I have is the play call. While Lamar had 2 people open on that play, and Mike Davis and Devin Duvernay, my issue with it is, okay, you're on the 2-yard line. You have kind of taken on this notion that your offense is not like everybody else's offense. You do things differently. Okay, fine. But when in these type of situations, in this fourth and goal, they call the same type of play call that every other team in the league would have called. You have Lamar Jackson. You have to do something. I think at some point you have to do something that is that breaks tendency. And I think that would have been a perfect time for Greg Roman to call a play that breaks tendency and call something that gives Lamar the option to run the ball. You're 2 yards out. It could have been a quarterback draw. The Ravens have nothing on film that would suggest that they call a quarterback draw when they go 5 wide. They don't do that in that situation. Or you want to do one of your design power runs or an RPO. I just feel like they should have at least gave him the option to decide whether he wants to run or pass in that situation, and they didn't. It turned out to be what it was, a terrible decision by Lamar to throw that ball. If anything, you throw it out of bounds, you throw it through the back of the end zone. Anything but an interception there, it turned out to be worst case scenario, and of course everybody now is going to second guess it.
All right, let's get to the defense. They've had a hard time closing games for the better part of a year plus now. Five straight home losses speak to that. Now, Marcus Peters, we saw him get animated, had to be restrained by Chris Hewitt at one point in time. What happened? Did you get any intel as to why Marcus Peters may have been visibly upset for all to see?
Well, you know, Harbs didn't go into much detail about it after the game. You know, he just kind of said that they had squashed it. He understands the type of player Marcus Peters is. He's fiery. He's competitive. They both are. He still said he's a Marcus Peters guy. Being out there, I did see Mark. I think that Marcus Peters' frustration went at least all the way back to the fourth and goal call that we were just talking about. Before they even snapped the ball, Marcus Peters, I see him on the sideline yelling down to somebody at some point. I don't know who he was yelling at, but he was yelling down, and he's on the opposite end of the field where the play was going on. So before they even hike the ball, he goes from yelling to running up the sideline, and he runs up, and as he's getting close, I'm like, is he yelling at Harv? And sure enough, he goes up, and he says something to Harv. Now, that conversation wasn't as animated as the one that happened at the very end of the game. But I think I don't know this for sure, but just from what I saw, I would not be surprised if Marcus Peters' frustration came all the way back from that fourth and goal call, whether he wanted to go for a field goal or whatever he wanted to do. But he had not been happy ever since that call, at least to my line of sight.
Cordell, what, because you were right there, what was the weather like on the fourth down? Because I know when I walked out, you know, it was really windy and the rain was coming sideways.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the press box,
right?
So we couldn't really tell the gravity of how hard it was raining. To be honest with you, I couldn't tell how hard the rain was coming down until I went back and watched some of the highlights on TV. It was kind of tough to see the rain, but we could tell it was a steady rain. It was a steady rain for sure, and you could kind of tell by the way guys were running around. It wasn't the easiest field to kind of chop your feet on. So definitely conditions, but especially by that point in the game, because it had been raining for the majority part of the game by that point. But it wasn't like a crazy downpour like the Niners game a couple of years ago or anything like that, but it was definitely a consistent rain.
Now, when you went in the locker room, Cordell, what was kind of like the tone of the players in there?
Very silent, very silent. Not many players were hanging around to really talk to us after that. JPP, he talked a little bit, and I know Patrick Queen talked, and, you know, Lamar as far as in the locker room setting. But, nope, you know, all these guys, it was kind of like they're trying to move forward. They're taking it on the chin. They're taking responsibility. The common word was finish. They have to finish these games. They have to finish these drives. And, you know, I think it's clear that they were all definitely disappointed in themselves and disappointed in this outcome and disappointed at the fact that they let two wins get away at home. I get that they're against quality teams in the AFC, but you have to be able to defend home, and that hasn't really been a problem for the Ravens in the past. Now they've lost, what, five straight home games? This is kind of uncharted territory for them, and I think that, you know, it's kind of weighing on them a little bit when you lose twice at home and kind of in similar fashion.
Cordell, how surprised were you that JPP had 86% of the snap? I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm completely shocked simply because, you know, who else are they going to put out there at that point?
It's, I know, what did he practice, 2 days?
Yeah, and you know, and he didn't have much of an impact out there. I went back and I watched his, you know, the All-22 isn't officially up yet, so I went back and watched some of the game highlights from all throughout the game, as many plays as I could find, and I didn't find many JPP pressures in the mix there. So, I mean, he played a lot of snaps. It's his first game of the season, you know, in a new defense. I didn't have high expectations for him. I said I didn't really expect him to move the needle at least right away. We'll see how it goes as they get guys back on the outside. And, you know, once he is kind of able to have his snap counts go down, we'll see what kind of impact he has. But I really didn't expect much from him. in the first game, and that's exactly what I got.
Hey, Cordell, now that Justice Hill's probably going to miss a few weeks, how do you think they go? Because I think he's been their most explosive, most effective, you know, most productive back every time, you know?
No doubt, definitely. It's going to be a huge blow. They have nobody that has that burst like he has. I mean, Tyler Beatty mm-hmm. probably has the next highest burst out of all these guys simply because J.K. Dobbins is not fully back to where he was. Although I did like the way Dobbins ran the ball yesterday, but it's just not enough. I like the way Dobbins ran the ball for him individually, you know, from him trying to still work his way back. But if we're talking about the impact that it had on the team, it wasn't much. He had the two touchdowns, no doubt. But throughout the grand scheme of things, you look at the second half, especially once the lead was gone, the same problems. They really couldn't sustain the running game to really be able to keep those guys off the field. And Justice Hill was the only one that was kind of able to do that. So him not being there is going to be a huge blow. Might end up seeing more Mike Davis. We've kind of seen that before. Kenyon Drake may get activated now. We'll see what happens, but this running game is kind of going from bad to worse.
Cordell, especially that last series, Morgan Moses killed him, you know, because the lost yardage play down there on second down, he whiffed, and then he got bull rushed on the fourth down play where, you know, I mean, if he blocks his guy and Falele blocks his guy, more so Moses because, you know, that guy came right in Lamar's face where he had to backpedal because he couldn't see. You know, if he chops him down, you know, then, you know, we're talking a different story.
You know, I honestly, Vinny, out of the two tackles, I thought Moses had the worst day out of the two. And that's,
he was
like
bad.
I said, I haven't been able to see the all 22 yet, but from all the plays that I have been able to watch this morning, I thought Falele did a pretty decent job. You know, he had a couple ones, especially he had a couple of plays against Von Miller that he completely took Von Miller out of the play. I'm not saying he played a perfect game at all, but out of those two guys, I thought Falele probably did the better job in the pass protection. I'll see what all I could see on the all 22 once that comes out. But just from the surface level, I thought he did a pretty good job. But yeah, you're right. Especially in crucial moments, Moses was getting beat. He's getting turned in, and wasn't necessarily the best day for the offensive line in general. Tyler Linderbaum, too many penalties,
three,
especially in the second half. Those were back-breaking penalties, you know, the passing game, like we said, especially on key moments late in the game. I also think a little bit of it was Lamar being a little reluctant to run at times. He had lanes to where he could take off and where he normally has taken off, and he didn't. And some of those resulted in either a sack or a pressure that caused him to throw a pass almost away. So I think it was a combination of a lot of things, but definitely not the best day for Morgan Moses.
Cordell Woodland, our Ravens reporter, Orioles reporter, and, of course, Shake It Up Sports Weeknights here on the Fag. Cordell, appreciate it as always. Have fun with John Harbaugh today.
I'll try. Thanks, guys.
All right, Cordell.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fag. We'll come back. Find out Tripp, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over at 2. And it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick live from Pickles getting you ready for the Orioles and Blue Jays. Adley Rutschman named today as the Orioles' most valuable player.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney post up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Before we get to the fun house, a couple of college football tidbits to get into. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Wisconsin fired their football coach, Paul Chryst. Former Raven, Jim Leonard, named interim coach. Yep. Leonard, if you remember Norm, was a safety on John Harbaugh's first teammate to the AFC Championship game back in 08. But started well at Wisconsin the last couple of years. A lot of mediocrity there.
Yes, they have. And the recruiting hadn't been as good. And I think that's... I just think they were looking for a reason to get rid of Paul Chryst when they went 2-3 because I think they wanted Leonard. They, they want Leonard to be the guy. I'm sure that they want Leonard to have success. Because the AD, McIntosh, he's a former lineman, you know, at Wisconsin, and I'm guessing he probably played with Leonard at the Badgers.
And if memory serves, teams have made overtures.
Yes, they have.
To Leonard to try to get him out of Madison. Also, college football Sunday – Carl Durrell out as head coach, Colorado 0-5. Also, defensive coordinator Chris Wilson was relieved of his duties there. Colorado at one time was a national power. They've fallen on hard times as of late.
I mean, Bob, when I was at Notre Dame, we were 1-2 the 1 year. You know, when Bill McCartney, I think, was the coach.
Yeah, they won co-national title.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a program. It's a great area, great facility, and they should be better than what they're doing. I mean, because they're, like, embarrassingly bad right now.
Yeah, they lost 43-20 to Arizona. That was their closest game of the season. That is not a good place to be. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. We're back tomorrow for Turn It Up Tuesday. But right now, let's turn it up. Quick Draws Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here says that was a 9-minute drive by the Ravens there at the end. Defense was fully rested, coming back on the field, still couldn't get a stop. The Bills only found themselves in a third down situation once. I support going for it.
Yeah, maybe, you know what, if that's in your gut and that's what you feel, because you're the one that's talking to Mike McDonald. And you know what, if you're Harbs, you know, don't you say, hey, Mike, can we stop him or should I go for it? You know, it's like, hey, you know, let's go win it right now.
This one here says no one bringing up the fact that if Lamar throws that ball away at the end instead of an interception, the Bills have to go 98 yards just to get a field or to get a touchdown. They're starting from the 2-yard line. A safety also a very real possibility.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, all those are possibilities, but Josh Allen more than likely probably is going to run it or do something. I would have liked Lamar, you know, if he's covered, go scramble. Go left, you know, run around a little bit, do your thing. You know, I kind of wish he'd have done that and just said throwing it up for grabs because, I mean, it is fourth down.
Someone here saying my issue with Harbaugh is he doesn't take the fall for these types of losses. Great coaches will admit when they make a bad call or a bad decision. In retrospect, Harbaugh has not done that with these late game risks.
Yeah, but if in your heart you believe you did the right thing, why are you going to say, you know, because the media's, you know, and the fan base are saying, you know, you screwed up? No, because if he scores a touchdown, oh, Harbs, that's a great call, you know. So, I mean, I don't blame Harbs. I mean, he's got to do what he believes.
This texter here, Tom in Annapolis, he says, looking ahead at the schedule, I think by the 10-game mark, they'll continue to be at 500, 5-5. Some concerns for the Ravens.
Who's after the Bengals, Norm?
That's the Giants.
They should beat the Giants. All right, let's say they're not going to be 0-3 at home, in my opinion. You know, I mean, all right, let's say they win. They go 3-2. You beat the Giants, you're 4-2. Then who you got?
Got the Browns at home.
Okay, you win that 5. And then who you got after that?
Buccaneers. That is the short week Thursday night.
At home or on?
At Raymond James.
Oh. So, I mean, they can get like, you know, you can get about 3-4 in a row here.
This texter here says, I think Cool C said it right. Harb's a terrible game and clock manager, not an X's and O's guy. He's a good administrator, surrounds himself with quality people, just can't recognize the proper context of the game.
I mean, the call's like a... the people we've talked to, it's been 50-50 whether they liked it or didn't like it. So, you know, half the people, you know, if Harbs would have kicked it, you know, and then the Ravens end up losing, should have went for it, Harb. You know, I mean, he couldn't win.
And he didn't.
Right.
Another one here says, I think this loss is on DaCosta. Everything we're discussing that went wrong in the game is because he didn't address obvious needs in the offseason. Linebacker, offensive tackle, says we need a touch of hubris from him.
Well, I'm sure Eric's not, he's going to talk, you know, I mean, doesn't no sense for him to talk now, especially if he never normally does it this time of the year. But tackle, they had tackle depth. I mean, Makari got hurt. Juwan James got hurt, you know? And who'd have thought Ronnie would be out till at least week five?
Especially when he came off the pup, what, at the end of August?
And let me just say, like, Falele, you know, was he great? No. But, you know, G-Row helped him out a lot in pass and stuff, you know? So he was adequate.
Another texter here says, forget scoring points. Ravens just simply haven't been able to run the ball like they did in 2019. Can't even milk the clock to help themselves.
See, I think a lot of that's the running back. You know, because to me, every time that Justice Hill is in, why do they get big plays? And, you know, and 2 weeks in a row, he's averaging, what, 10 yards a carry once and 6 yards this time. I think it's about the guy with speed and burst. When I watch Dobbins, he doesn't have that.
And one last one here. Chris says, I've never been one to say something like this, but that call yesterday to not take the 3 points is a fireable offense, in my opinion. I'm tired of Harbaugh's ego costing the Ravens games.
I don't think ego goes into it at all. You know, I think it's, you know, decision. Because he's down there talking to him. He's got the best feel of anybody. I mean, we don't. You know, I'm walking on the treadmill watching it. You're saying, go for three.
I'm miles away in a basement
somewhere.
I mean,
he's feeling, you know, the wind, the rain, you know, the players. What do they want to do, you know? You know, so, I mean, Harb's got the best feel for it.
Harbs has been taking some heat, though, today. A lot of people want to see him gone, so.
Yeah, that was
fresh,
last time, too. Miami
fresh
game.
Fresh new voice.
Miami game also.
And we'll see how much of a genius he'll be a week from today as the Ravens take on the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday night down at M&T Bank Stadium. Obviously, we have all week long to preview that one. Orioles tonight taking on the Blue Jays down at Camden Yards. Last series of the year for the Birds. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick going to be down at Pickles for BBT. Come on down and say hello. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Then it's Cordell. And then it's Monday Night Football. The 49ers taking on the Rams. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy out there, everybody. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.